This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
Is another apocalyptic prediction about to come true? Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways.
Satisfied with the arrangement, you can complain to the management. Or pray. If there's a God left up there to believe in, my Father who art in heaven, you made a jackass out of me for years. It's never been you for me. Melville's God, that's the God I believe in. You see what you want, you take it. You take it. And I'm gonna do just that.
I fought for you. I won you. You belong to me.
Please, please, no.
I killed a man for you.
Please.
I own you. Now get up! Get up! Get up! Get up!
No! 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 No!
Stop me, Mama!
No! Get him, Mama! Please!
Go ahead, kill me!
Please!
I don't leave you off this goddamn mess!
Please!
Who'll feed you?
Please!
Go ahead, kill me!
No,
you can't kill me, any of you! I've got the guts! Now get that cockroach! Get out of here, both of you!
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 47, Day of the Animals.
Day of the Animals, yes. I mean, we are living in the age of global warming. We are living in the age of, you know, environmental...
Yeah, flooding. Yeah, the melting of the polar ice caps.
Yes, yes.
Asteroids hitting the planet.
Yeah,
you name
yeah.
it.
Eco-awareness everywhere.
Yeah.
And yet, in 1977, a very prescient film was made called Day of the Animals, a cautionary tale about the ozone layer.
Yeah, it seems like every decade and a half there's a new environmental bugbear that first it was, we were growing up, it was the population explosion. And oh my God, when the population hits 12 billion, life as we know it will cease to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became the ozone layer, which is depleting, and then, the radiation's going to hit, and then skin cancer rates will go through the roof, and then now, of course, it's global warming.
Right.
Then, at the time, ozone.
Right, but I mean, when were you aware of the ozone layer? About
late 80s?
Like,
don't want to date myself, but I don't know, it must have been like 10 or 11, but it was the big deal.
Okay, but in 1977, I don't think a lot of people were talking about the ozone layer.
No, but this crappy film, they were way ahead of their time.
They were way ahead of their time. I mean, it starts off with a crawl saying, you know.
Ponderous intro. Man.
Yeah. That fluorocarbons are depleting the ozone layer, and this is a tale of what could happen. So this is a cautionary tale.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie begins with lots of foreboding shots of animals, you know, your eagles, your snakes, your tarantulas, your bears,
your owls, your lizards,
every predatory animal known to man, you know.
Yeah.
And so some, we know, this, of course, this is nature on amok territory, a genre that we both are quite
love
fond
it.
Of.
Mm-hmm.
And we gotta say, I mean, this is a good movie. I mean,
yeah.
we were both pleasantly surprised, because, I mean, I previously heard this was one of the worst movies ever made, but you know what? I rather liked it. I gotta say. So, Day of the Animals. Let's get a little plot description going, Chris.
We got people who, you know, a group of tourists, you know, big city folk. They're in the California highlands or in the mountains, mm-hmm. and they're going on a 2-week trek. Going on a 2-week trek through the bush and
in the mountains.
The mountains, and they have, you know, barely any provisions. They have. Their guides have no maps. They have barely any food. They have no weapons, considering this is bear and mountain lion territory. Yeah. They have barely any water.
Yeah.
No compass.
No compass.
Tents.
No Swiss Army knife.
No sleeping bags.
No matches. No
Anyway, they're being led by Buckner, who's sort of like the James Garner. He's sort of the alpha male guy. He's got a cowboy hat.
Yeah,
he looks more
yeah.
like the guy from Midnight Cowboy.
Well, he's played by Christopher George, who's actually in Save the Living Dead, a 4G film. So, yeah. They're going on this 2-week tour. Mm-hmm. it is sort of akin to
Gilligan's Island.
Island, because you got your professor, mm-hmm. you got your starlet, you know, who's actually a news anchor lady.
Yeah, and you said the older woman.
The
Mrs. Howell kind of type.
Mm-hmm. You got a young couple.
Yeah.
You got a sort of like a bickering couple. You got an ad man.
Yeah, I guess the
ad wizard, played by
Leslie Nielsen,
yep.
who we recently discussed in Prom Night. And then the second in command, I guess, of the tour guides is an Indian
named Santi.
Santi, yeah.
And you gotta have an Indian. I mean, you always have to have an Indian when it comes to these sort of movies, because, you know, mm-hmm. the Indians, I mean, they're attuned with nature, you know.
So, yeah, apparently. Yeah. Not this guy so much.
Not really, no. Santi
he's mapless, he's not exactly Magellan here, you know. He's of no use whatsoever in any capacity,
other than
to be the butt of, like, racist jokes.
Exactly.
You know.
Although he does sort of sense something is amiss in the beginning of the movie. I mean, that's about the extent of his, usefulness.
So, Leslie Nielsen is an ad man. You know, he's a Madison Avenue guy, like, straight out of, you know, the TV show Mad Men. And he's, you know, he has a inflated sense of self, and he
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
he calls Santi the Indian Kemosabe.
Kemosabe.
And he says things like, me, mighty warrior, and just basically makes fun of this guy's native heritage.
Me, mighty warrior, me, no, need no weapon.
Me, need food.
Oh, God.
Getting angry.
Right. We'll talk about Leslie Nielsen later on, because, I mean, his character arc is quite shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta say, it was...
It takes a lot to shock us, and that was pretty pretty surprising.
Yeah.
So we got this Santi, the Indian, and he says, you know, as you said, he's got this sort of, he's somewhat in tune with nature, and he says, there's something strange in the woods,
and I don't know what it is. Like I said, so we got this ragtag bunch, and they're going on this 2-week tour mm-hmm. in the mountains for what?
Yeah, there's no itinerary of, like, oh, they're going to see this gorge, or they're going to go take pictures of this mountain lion, or whatever.
They're going to go canoeing, or it's just like they're just walking, you know what I mean? With this guy, Bruckner, who has very limited qualifications, apparently, because the sheriff is reading the riot act at the very beginning, going, I don't know what sort of snake oil you've sold to these people, but...
Yeah.
And even then, like, I mean, some of these people are on vacation. I mean, it does not sound like a great vacation for me, like a 2-hour... I keep saying 2 hours. It should have been 2 hours. They had enough provisions for 2 hours. That's why I keep saying two hours.
But these eco tours, like, I could see the appeal. Like, you go into the Amazon.
Go to Machu Picchu or something.
Yeah, you can maybe go, like, oh, I'm going to go see piranha or alligator, but at least you'd be led by a qualified guide.
Or
maybe not that.
Or
that's something we would see.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the very least, you'd be dressed for the occasion. These people... As I said, they have no water, they have no provisions, they're dressed ridiculously, inappropriately. There's a woman who is pushing, like, looks like 70, and she's there with a grandson.
Yeah.
And she's going on a 2-week trek, this old biddy. And this, anyway,
And it's funny because they start off with going in a helicopter, take them to the mountains, and the entire town comes out to watch a helicopter take off.
Yeah, but presumably this is a, you know, common industry in this town. But yeah, they treat it like it's, you know, the Titanic is departing from the UK. But.
Right. So we got, so we have this, as we said before, ragtag bunch, and you know, we know that two things are, we know things are about to become amiss, because once again, we keep seeing these shots of these inserts, these predatory animals.
Yeah, this,
you know,
B-roll footage, yeah, of predators.
The you know, cougars and mountain lions and even, yeah, like rattlesnakes.
Owls.
And this one eagle that just drove me nuts, this leering eagle. At one point, I think you said, enough of this fucking leering eagle, because this is like... It's...
Yeah, we thought it would be more Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, but yeah, again, every carnivorous North American creature that has something to, you know, is involved in this in some capacity.
Yeah.
But...
And it's funny, too, because back in town, they're watching the news report, and the news report is saying, you know, ladies and gentlemen, the ozone layer,
yeah,
is
reiterating
before our eyes, yeah, and, you know, the higher the altitude you get, the worse it is.
Yeah,
so obviously we have this,
yeah, yeah,
exactly. And I think one of the sheriff's deputies likens the ozone depletion to reports of, like, Martians landing or something.
Yeah, he's like the H.G. Wells thing. So
yeah,
that's
like,
what
he's completely incredulous. But, yeah. I mean, even in town, like, there's signs that things aren't amiss, because, I mean, there's dogs that are normally friendly, and they're starting,
yeah,
to growl.
They're growling, yeah.
And so we know, you know, like, this is going to be the day of the animals. Mm-hmm. So up in the mountains.
2 weeks of the animals.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So up in the mountains, again, besides, you know, the insert shots of all the stock footage carnivorous animals, we have Santi saying, I don't like it. Something,
yeah,
is wrong. And then the poor kid, the youngest of the group, how old did you say that he was? Maybe 8,
yeah,
9?
Yeah, 10, maybe tops.
All of a sudden,
yeah,
this vulture just flies right at him.
Yeah, yeah.
And
one of those carnivorous attack,
yeah,
vultures.
And it freaks everybody out. As it would freak me out.
Yeah, for,
I mean,
sure.
You know.
Birds are freaky.
Yeah, let alone birds of prey, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, so that was a harbinger of things to come.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, they decide to make camp. And, you know, they're just having sort of restful night, singing some campfire songs, one guy's,
yeah,
playing a Johnny tune harmonica, when all of a sudden, and at this point I'm kind of like, well, I don't know where this film is going. I could like it, I could dislike it, boom.
Yeah.
Mountain lion attacks.
No, it was a wolf.
It was
the first
a wolf.
One, yeah, or
right.
A coyote, but it was extremely well done.
A coyote?
Or just, it was either a wolf or a coyote.
Obviously, because that's what they say it in, you know, some of these movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
A coyote, yeah,
yeah,
one of these, like, gnarly prospectors. It's a coyote in these woods. But, yeah,
it was a wolf.
It was
a wolf, yeah.
It was something, and that was pretty cool. And the one woman gets, I guess, her face mauled. And this, of course, you know, precipitates the... You know, the splintering of this you know, group into the separate groups.
Well,
so she needs to be taken,
yes,
down for,
yes,
if you know. And this is quite ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
The reason cited by one of the, you know, the pretty blondes on this trip is that she has to be given medical care so that she doesn't scar. Not that the fact she could just bleed out from this vicious mauling, but it's like, oh, she's a pretty girl. I hope
she doesn't
leave
a
permanent scar.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever.
So, you know,
your,
yeah,
priorities here.
So,
huh?
Bruckner says, well, let's just carry on, and you guys just, you know, you make your way down,
yeah,
to whatever, you know? I mean, your woman's been mauled by a lion, and,
yeah,
you don't know why, you don't know shit about, you know?
Yeah, where you are, but here, you take your walking stick and you get
and
lost.
Just get the fuck out of here, right?
Yeah.
So, then we have, so as we follow this couple, then it becomes the birds. Then it becomes very Hitchcockian.
Yeah, so this guy Frank, who's wearing this rugby shirt and looks like John Voight from Deliverance,
mm-hmm,
he starts to assist, you know, his girlfriend, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to bring her down the rocks and make their way down back into town. And this is going to be quite a hike, because as we said, they went into the mountains by helicopter.
Yeah.
Then they are
this
just
poor girl, yeah.
They are attacked by whatever it is to describe a pack of eagles.
A murder of crows.
Yeah.
It wasn't a murder of crows, but I mean,
these eagles just swoop down and just peck at her and just,
yeah,
make her bleed and then, you know, send her over a cliff.
Which was quite ludicrous looking,
yeah,
when she fell off the cliff, I gotta
and
say.
And she landed in some paper mache rocks,
yeah,
but that,
yeah,
was still pretty badass.
Yeah, no, I mean, the effects were fairly good in this movie, with the exception,
yeah,
of that one scene.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the end of her.
That's the end of her, and then Frank, who doesn't seem overly despondent, the fact that he's lost his wife, but he carries on with his stick in tow and comes across a raging river, and inexplicably, like a young girl just standing there, and you,
yeah,
said at this point it was Fulci-esque.
Yeah.
So you had this sort of mute girl.
Yeah.
Who's just standing there in,
yeah,
the river.
This
is very surreal.
Very surreal in the sense of, yeah, like there's this mute girl and she's there and there's no explanation. It reminded me of either something out of like a Fulci film or like almost like a Kerry White, you know, like Stephen King. Like it's very bizarre. Yeah. So So, Frank is now, he takes her under his wing. Under his wing and tries to save her. And then we have, the rest of our gang, trying to, at this point, are they trying to survive or are they still continuing the tour? I think at this point, they're still...
I think there's still, some pretense that they're, they could still make the best of their two-week tour.
I don't think
they're panicking yet.
They understand the gravity of the situation.
No.
However, back in town, the gravity is understood because we've got the National Guard...
They're called in to evacuate the higher reaches of the woods and the mountains and higher elevations of this town because, again, I guess there's some sort of problem with the UV radiation, and you have to leave, I guess.
And this was after the rat scene, right, with the sheriff?
Yes.
That was a cool scene.
Yeah, I guess, as understandably the animals start to become affected by this... Well, maybe not understandably, but by the ultraviolet exposure. And, as you said before, the dogs start behaving really menacingly.
Erratically and menacingly,
The town sheriff, Tucker, instead of this, portly bigot type, he gets his face chewed up by rats.
Well, he decides to go for a midnight snack. So he saunters down in his PJs, and he opens up the ice box and sees, the remnants of a turkey being eaten. And he puts it on the counter, and he turns his head away, I guess, to get some cranberry sauce or something. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, there's 10 rats just gnawing at his turkey. And
then they jump at his face and gnaw at his face. Yeah. Pretty neat.
Totally. I mean, we're getting every animal possible. So, Back to our intrepid mountaineers. and Leslie Nielsen. We got to talk about Leslie Nielsen. I mean, this guy, he's cocky. He's bigoted. I mean, he keeps calling Santi Kimosabe, and he keeps calling Bruckner Hotshot. And it gets a little hilarious.
Especially the Frank Drebin police squad voice. Hotshot, airplane.
Within a scene, he called him Hotshot about 8 times. I should play the Hotshot drinking game. Take a shot every time he calls him Hotshot. You would be on the floor within 5 minutes. But anyway,
and we know Jensen, Leslie Nielsen's character, is a bad guy because he's in advertising. Yeah. So we know immediately that he's evil and he's going to meet his demise because he represents the man. Now, he, has questioned the authority from the get-go of both the Indian spirit guide, the guide, and Buckner, because these guys don't know their ass from the proverbial hole in the ground. They don't know where to lead this crew. Uh-huh. And he questions them and says, listen, we've been up here 2 days. We have no food. They come across some food that was supposed to be left for them, and it's been eaten by animals.
So, did anybody vet this tour? Was there any rolling planet back then or something? Yeah. I guess there wasn't.
Yeah, they couldn't, look online and see Yelp reviews.
Yeah, how did they even agree to go on this bloody piece of shit tour? But anyway, so there's this internecine power struggle going on between
the two guides and this admin. Yeah. So who would you believe? The guy who writes copy and jingles for and keeps bringing up his work in television, or the two guys whose qualifications to lead a group through the mountains is definitely
suspect. Well, one guy, basically, so you have Nielsen that wants to go back up, and he wants to go to
go to some sort of tower, like a ranger tower, I believe,
And then you have the other two, Bruckner.
The other two,
and
they want to go scale down the mountain 30 miles, and he wants to go up 15. Yeah. And I guess there's apparently a rendezvous point at the ranger tower for a helicopter. So the remaining trekkers have to decide whether they follow alpha male Adman Jensen or the two alpha male guides, your Buckners or your Santi, the Indian guides. So, but again, they come across this camp where they're supposed to have provisions. And these guys are the worst guides because they've set up food there that, we're podcasting from Ontario, two hours north of Toronto. Anyone who's ever been camping...
We're in Toronto.
We're 2 hours north of Toronto. Anyone who's ever gone camping knows that you pack food up and you hang it, from a tree, and you don't... Or you keep it in your car. You don't just keep it lying around.
I've only gone camping once in my life, so I don't know that. Anyway.
You keep it away from the animals so they don't... Yeah. These guys leave the food right in the middle of on the ground, and then it gets ransacked by all the animals, so they have no food.
Right.
So it proves the ad man right.
But let's talk
his suspicions were correct.
Let's talk about the useless professor.
Yeah. Well, there's useless professions on the trip. There's a hot reporter who's referred to as an anchor man, you know, in this sort of a, you know, a nod sexist, to the feminist movement.
And then
she
goes, well, don't you realize that nowadays we're called anchor women?
Yeah.
You know, this is before, like, anchor, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and so. Then she's asking lots of probing questions, you know, the likes of which have no answers. And there's also a professor of...
Well, we have a football player that's dying of cancer.
Yeah.
What his purpose, he serves, God knows. But anyway.
Just animal feed or whatever. But and then there's a naturalist. So there's a professor of...
God knows what.
I think evolutionary biology, but he doesn't seem to... really have anything to say about the nature of the animals attacking them or how they should survive or really what they should do in any way. So he just doesn't, he just lectures people. And
he's useless. And when the newswoman asks him, you know, how did they open up the food? What is his answer? Something like evolutionary engineering.
Yeah, millions of years of adaptation, you know, like really useless.
Yeah, just don't, you know, just...
Don't trust your ivory tower guys. Don't trust your Madison Avenue ad men. Don't trust... your, you know, hiking trek guys. Don't trust anybody.
Well,
the message of this movie. Yeah.
Okay. But so we have the two groups splintering off, and this is where the
excitement comes in.
The excitement, but also the sheer like what the fuck in this of Leslie Nielsen, because all of a sudden it becomes fucking Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
And Leslie Nielsen, the savagery of man. You know, before, you know, okay, there's this torrential rainstorm coming down, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be torrential.
Yeah.
And we see Leslie Nielsen naked from the waist up. So, you know, and he's hacking away at the bush with his cane, and he's become savage. I mean, like, I'm talking like savage. Like, okay, again, this is Leslie Nielsen, beloved Canadian figure, comedian.
Yeah.
You know, your Naked Guns, your police squads, your Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Yeah, this airplane, everything.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he's off his fucking rocker. I mean, he's calling, you know, I mean, never mind calling people Kemosabe and Hotshot. He's not calling people cockroaches.
Yeah, he grabs the kid by the scruff of the neck, calls him a little cockroach, and throws him into the bush.
Lily liver punk.
Yeah.
There's an attempt at sexual assault by Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, he batters the grandmother with a stick. Like, yeah, he skewers one of the you know, one of the younger guys with his walking stick.
Yeah.
Like, he just goes apeshit.
Yeah, and then he grabs a girl, and he's like, he's ready to, like,
do something. Way with her sexually,
and he's ranting to the gods or something. it's insanity.
We never saw that coming.
No, we did not. And then, thankfully, you know, the gods, you know, responded,
intervened
by sending a bear to attack him. So we get a scene. All of a sudden, it turns into the Gray, like Liam Neeson versus the wolf. No, it's Leslie
Grizzly
Nielsen
Adams,
versus a bear. Okay, if you ever want to see Leslie Nielsen wrestle
a bear, well, I've always wanted to see, like, you know, Woody Allen wrestle a kangaroo, and I did see that on YouTube, but now I've seen Leslie Nielsen wrestle a bear, and that was really amazing.
Yeah.
Really cool.
So that was where Price of the Price admission right there. We also have the story of Frank and the Mute Girl. I mean, they're still trying to make their way to safety.
Yeah, they're still, you know, they managed to descend to the town, and the guy finds his car, and he thinks, finally, I can take... You know, me and this girl can be, you know, we can drive ourselves on over to safety.
Now, there is a problem because there's a rabid dog outside. So, you know, it's Frank versus Cujo, basically. Mm-hmm.
And there's also the problem of rabid, in addition to the rabid dogs in the town, there's rattlesnakes.
Well, that's the whole thing, because Frank's is the girl. Okay, you wait in the car.
You wait in the car.
My car is, like... 10 feet away.
Yeah.
You know, don't come with me. Wait in the car and I'll get you there. So he gets there.
Opens the door.
And in my mind, the only thing I think about is Indiana Jones. Why did it have to be snakes?
Yeah.
There's about, you know, 30 rattlers in there and Frank's a goner. So that's the end of that. And I mean, you know, it goes on and on. I mean, you know, this is every animal, every predatory animal you can think of that's not aquatic is basically represented in this movie. We're not gonna how it wraps up, we don't want to spoil the movie. But I gotta say, this is pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
What would you give it?
Definitely, well, I mean, my expectations were a one. I would give this a solid 3.5. You know, script-wise, it doesn't have all the, you know, the biting satire of, like, a Piranha.
Okay.
Or the sort of fun in-joke B-movie references of an alligator. But
there was the existential, you know, the savagery of man, represented in the character of Leslie Nielsen Kenson. You know, like when civilization breaks down, you know, we descend into our primitive selves and become. Now, of course, that I don't think that was intentional by the screenwriter, but it was pretty crazy. But anyhow. Yeah. Like you, I was expecting this to be a 1. I will give it a 3. Mm-hmm. The reason I'm maybe a half star lower than you is I think the ending was a little too pat.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know? The deus ex machina of the ozone layer just got resolved way, way too...
Yeah, it just went away. I guess the winds changed or something and sent the ozone west or
something. The ozone reconstructed itself, so I don't know. I mean, I guess we just spoiled the ending. What did you learn?
I learned that native guides... are pretty ineffectual when it comes to trekking through the mountains. At one point, when this kid, it should be said, is a bit of a brat. At one point, the kid is throwing rocks and becoming a nuisance, and the grandmother can't keep him in check. And Santee, the Indian guide, says, "Stop throwing rocks, kid, or I'll scalp you." That was just bloody hilarious. Mary, what did you learn? Hotshot.
Well, it's funny you call me Hotshot because what I learned is less than listening. I learned that dude was fairly ripped, I gotta say.
Yeah.
For a 60-year-old man, I mean, he must have been...
I don't know. He's not... What's the opposite of ageless? I don't know. He always has seemed old.
He's like Steve Martin.
Steve Martin, you know? I was going to say. Maybe it's the white hair.
It's like...
He's been perpetually 60 to 80. As long as we've known him.
Steve Martin and Leslie Nielsen, exactly. So, yeah. I mean, he probably was maybe about 50. The scene of him naked from the waist up, for an older dude, I mean, he had some muscle tone.
He should all be in that good shape, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I learned. I did not know that underneath those ill-fitting suits in the Naked Gun series, was like... The body of Ned Flanders,
For more animal attack movies, nature run amok movies, and other types of B movies, check out www.reallyawfulmovies.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hot shots.